We're discussing the Sugya Daf Yabez of Miyun and the Ha'ar of the Rashba based on the Sugya Daf Kuf Zayin and Daf Kuf Ches. Kuf Zayin is the Mishnah that tells us a very fundamental machlokas beisila beishami. At what stage is Miyun allowed? Beishami says very, very simply, Miyun is something that relates to relationship between the Baal and the Ish, and Beisila disagrees and says that no, it's even possible when it comes to the next step, a husband dies, and now she is no fellas the Yibum. What exactly that means? That's a fundamental machlokas, Rav Oshia and Ula. Rav Oshia says the schus of miyun is very, very limited. It's true. It applies to step two, but it only affects that which was done la'achar misa sabal. For example, mamar. If mamar is done al yidei hayavam, in such a case, then you can exercise a right of miyun. Just like it's true when it comes to the original issues, it's true when it comes to the quasi issues, which is created through a kinyan kesef kodem ibum. However, it's impossible, Rav Oshia says, for miyun to uproot the relationship between this woman and her first husband who has died. And Lud disagrees and says the following, that's not true. Mema'enes af lezikasam. Af lezikasam. After all, the Rashba writes, what is this machlokes between Rav Oshia and Ula? Very simply, Rav Oshia says this is step two, and therefore, miyun is impossible to affect step one. She was not mema'enes while she was married, and therefore that is treated as kedushin gemurin. The whole possibility of miyun is just to go ahead and to affect the relationship between the baal and the yavam. Ula disagrees and says that really is not true. She was satisfied with the current situation. No, she was satisfied with her previous situation, being married to her husband that died. But now she has a right to object. That even though chafetza ben yisuin harishonim, that's not true mikana lahabav. And once she objects, that what do you mean? That's lamafreya. It means the ishu sispaka. It's not treated as a get, which is mikana lahabav, but rather it is nekar lamafreya. And therefore, even now she has a right, meminas af lezikaso, to uproot the original kedushin. And the Rashba writes the following. But clear in our Gemara that it's a little bit different. If miyun would occur for her original husband, you know what, that we're done. It's as though the issues never took place. We'll have to modify slightly. But the Kedushin HaRishonim are nekar in the Mafreya. What about when it comes to here, that mema'enes lezikaso, some mafurish and gemara, yedbeis amad aleph, that you know what, certain isurim remain. She is not allowed to go in to marry her previous father-in-law, even though miyun was done, and the ishus is severed, but nonetheless, since it was biyavam, memenes af lezikaso, in such a case, the isra of kalasa remains, lefurish and af yabez, amadalam. The Rashba writes a very just important chiddush. Kalasa was just an example. It means the krovim, hane esarim, as a result of the original ishus, that is something that remains aser. One example would be a father-in-law. Another example would be nephews. A nephew and an aunt, that's called Gili Arayos. A nephew is not allowed to go into marry an aunt. So if indeed this marriage will be preserved, after all, she is not allowed to go into marry the nephews, the same thing is true, Lachar Miyun, the Isser of Krovim still remains. Wow. So therefore, even though our Gemara highlights Kalasso, but nonetheless, that is an example of the Krovim Hane'esarim, and that applies to Shar Krovim as well. Okay? If that really is true, a difficult, you know? Our Gemara says the following, that you know what? When a person goes ahead and exercises the right of Miyun, you know what? But still, she's allowed to go ahead and to marry the other Krovim, meaning the other brothers. The other brothers are allowed. After all, Miyun HaMazeh, Muteres l'sharachim. Miyun HaMazeh muteres bazeh. How exactly does that work? If you're going to tell me it's as though that the original ishus was preserved, and therefore the krovim ne'asarim, so how can our Gemara say Miyun HaMazeh muteres bazeh? How can that possibly be? Oh, so the Rashi writes the following. Well, of course muteres bazeh. Of course muteres bazeh. Let's assume, for example, that the original ishus was intact, and her husband died without any children. Of course, mutar and lazeh, a mitzvah of ibum. So therefore, wow, that's exceptional. The shuris adin is hakrovim ne'esarim. But obviously there's a built-in exception when it comes to brothers-in-law, because regarding brothers-in-law, then what do you mean? When a husband dies, there's a mitzvah of yibum. Yeah, but there was miyun, so great chiddush. Miyun will sever the relationship between her and this brother. And this brother, she was manes klapi oso ha'ach. However, as far as the others are concerned, the zika remains. The zika, wow. So that's a stunning chiddush. Almost somewhat ironic, as we'll see. So she will be allowed to marry the brothers-in-law, which is a very close relationship, even though she's going to be forbidden to other krovim. Why is that true? Because the miyun will affect the zika la'oso ha'ach. Wow, that's something which is stunning. That's foreign to us. Now, up until now, we've assumed that, you know what, whatever is done to sever the mika, zika in such an instance, that's going to apply across the board. Not that, you know what, you have chalitza to one brother, but the zika's intact when it comes to other brothers. That obviously is true. Or chalitza, daraisa. Here we're talking about a case of miyun. Miyun means she has a right to reject him, but as far as the other brothers are concerned, the zika remains. And therefore, an argument says the following, miyun amazeh muteres bazeh, that means as a form of yibum. As a form of yibum. Wow, that no doubt is a stunning finish. Is there any raya to assume that yes, that la'achar miyun, not only is kalaso aser, but shar krovim, shar krovim aser as well. So there are ashvarites, of course. This is mufurish on the next daf, on daf kuf chesma days, where the Gemara discusses the following case. You have a girl who is a ketana, and she goes in and marries this man. You know what? And you know what? That this man has relatives. This man is the maternal uncle, right, of certain nephews. We'll call the nephew Reuven. This man is the maternal uncle of Reuven. Okay, good. You know what? She marries him. She is the aunt. She is the aunt of Reuven. No? So that's a case of Haisa Ktana, Eishas Achi Imo. Eishas Achi Imo. And you know what? That is Nisra of Shnios. That's Shnios Larayos. Okay? You know what? That relationship is done. That relationship came to an end. The divorce. That relationship came to an end. The husband died. The husband died. Isn't there Yibum? No. He has other children. So there's no mitzvah of Yibum. There was a get. There's no mitzvah of Yibum. So you know what? There was marriage number one that created an issur of certain krovim. And you know what? That marriage was paka. Okay? She goes ahead. Beheter gamor. And marries Shimon. Shimon is a brother of Reuven, and she was Reuven's aunt. She was Reuven's aunt, based on the first marriage. And all of a sudden, you know what? Shimon dies. Her new husband dies. Her new husband does not have any children. All of a sudden now there is an opportunity of Yibum. And to whom? To Reuven. Whoa. She has a double relationship with Reuven. Now, number one, that recognized, that would be a classic case of Yibum. It is her husband's brother. But Reuven also is her nephew, because of the first marriage. We're not going to allow Yibum in such a case. After all, in addition to Eshesach, that's a case of Shnios, that's a Sugya and Abchav, and in such a case, we're not going to allow Yibum to take place. Okay, I understand. Ooh, the Gemara raises the following issue. You know what? But I can do something to uproot the original marriage. Miyun. If I will do Miyun, you know what that means? We have somehow resolve the problem of Shnios Larayos, because if she will be Mamaenes, that original Ishus is done, in which case she really is not the aunt of Reuven. She is only the sister-in-law of Reuven, a mitzvah of Yibum. So therefore, would that be a possibility? Wow, so that would be an incredible chiddush. That is the Sugya and Av Kuches. Mao Shetamayim Hashta. Why not allow her to do Miyum right now? And that will uproot the original marriage, and now she positions herself for Yibum, because now the Isser is only one of Eshesach, that obviously is Paka. Mamakom Yibum. So guess what? The Gemara says, don't you dare. The Gemara says, no. Mao Shittamayim, would we allow Yibum right now? The answer is, that's not going to resolve our issue. That is not going to be helpful. Why not? After all, if you hold like Rav Oshia, if you hold like Beis Shammai, I understand, Mina is impossible. But if you hold like Ula Arsunya, that miyun is indeed possible, mema'enes af lezikasa, so why not go ahead and engage in evil? As far as the zik indeed would be concerned, that would uproot the original marriage. Now you would only have an isra veishasat, and in such a case, yivum could take place. Well, that is the kasha. That is the kasha. Why does the Gemara tell us in Afkuches? No. That would be a great Esa. Oh, so the Rashba quotes the Shita of the Rib, which is what the Shita of the Rashba is, and that is the following. Wait a second. Even after Miyun is done, our Gemara says, there still is an Isra of Kalasa, because Nire. These were people that she was forbidden to marry because they were relatives, and that lingers even La'achar Miyun. Normally it doesn't, that's true, but here it does, because there was a marriage, and she did not object to the original marriage. So even if subsequently, she will be menaced lezikasa, but you know what, the Isra of Krovin remains. If the Isra of Krovin remains, just like our Gemara says, Kalasa remains, so too the Isra of Shnios would remain. If the Shnios Taraz would remain, Yibum is no longer considered to be an option. Oh, so the Rashba writes that this really is not my Chiddush, this is Poshupsha. In the Gemara Dafkav Chesim Abeis, and that means Yibbeis Amin Aleph, Kalasa was just an example of Kurva, where Kurva remains in a case where Mima Enes Lizikas. Wow. So that's something which is stunning. And this is not in agreement with the Rambam. The Rambam is Mefurish, Hilchas Gerushin, Perek Yitzayin, Yet Aleph, Aleph Yitzayin, where the Rambam writes, none of that is true. First, we assume that Mima Enes Lizikasa. We paskal legula, miyun can occur at stage 2, even after the husband is deceased, but you know what? You can be mema'enes for the zik as well. Wow. And what happens when you do so? Oh, the original ishus indeed is faka. But you know what? Kalasa remains, because after all, niris ke kalasa. Because after all, at the time that her husband died, what do you mean? That husband, father-in-law, that appeared of an Isra Erva. And even though she uprooted the original Kiddushin, but nira ke kalasa. But the Rambam writes the Chiddush, for whatever reason, that only applies to kalasa. But shar krovim, the Rambam is mafurish, muteres. And then the Rambam writes the Chiddush, and that's pshat in our Gemara. Miyana bezeh is muteres bezeh. If miyana for achwan, she's muteres l'shar achim. Wow. So that's something which is stunning. Why is it that our Gemara says, miyana mezeh muteres bezeh? The Rambam writes, that's a rai muchachas, that there's no isra of krovim machar miyun. The Rashba writes, that's not true. There is an isra of krovim. Lachar miyun. But the reason she's muteres to her brothers-in-law is because nireis. What do you mean nireis? Now, since she was married, it looks as though if she would be married to husband A, this would be a mitzvah of Yibum. Wow, so that's something which indeed is stunning. And that the Beis Shmuel points out, and Ebenezer, Kufayin, Gimel, and Sivkat Yirches, that's a very fundamental machlokes. How do we understand our Gemara? When our Gemara says, Miyana mazeh muteres bazeh, what exactly does it mean? Does muteres bazeh mean muteres bazeh, and therefore there's a mitzvah of Yibum? Or does it mean, of course, there's no mitzvah of Yibum? Because, after all, the Kedushin Rishonim are ne'ekarim. And if there is no issues, there's no mitzvah of Yibum. But the great Kiddush is, la'achar miyun, there's no iser l'shar krovim. No iser l'shar krovim. If that really is true, you know what muteres means? Muteres means muteres. Muteres does not mean a mitzvah of Yibum. So the Beis Shmuel points out, no, that's a very fundamental machlokes. When our Gemara says, miyana mazeh muteres bazeh, what exactly does that mean? Does it mean yibum? Or does it mean, no, muteres? Like we had in the cases of the Rashba, about hutra v'nesra, chazer tera rishon, yibum? Or no, chazer lehetera, leter rishon. Well, that's something which indeed is stunning. Wow, that's something unusual. So the Rambam Shita is as follows, that, you know what, that typically speaking, there is no issa. There is no issa that applies in the cases of krovim. With the exception of kalasa, that remains us. But that's not typical. That's not typical. Why would I argue that that's true? Why would I argue that's true, that the Issur the Krovim is only Kalasa? When it comes, for example, to a nephew, they're not. Why would I distinguish between a father-in-law and a nephew? Why would that be the difference? This woman cannot marry her father-in-law, but she can marry her nephew. What do you mean? A nephew is an Erva? A father is an Erva? Why would one argue that there's any difference whatsoever? So, Oshim Shav, this is what the Taz points out. Kuf Nun Ei, Sivkat Vav. The Taz writes very, very simply. You know what? She's forbidden to her father-in-law because Nira. You know, there was a window of time that they were married. And that original marriage was not dissolved through Miyun at that time. So even if stage two, indeed that occurs, the residual Isser for Kalasa remains. Well, if it remains as far as Kalasa is concerned, why wouldn't I say it remains as far as the nephews are concerned at all? Those are just different examples of Krovin. So God's writes the following. Wait a second. Muteris was that means that if she exercises Miyun right here and now, she is permitted to her brothers-in-law. She's permitted to her brothers-in-law, and she's forbidden to her nephews. That sounds very, very odd. How can that possibly be? Who's a nephew? You know who a nephew is? A nephew is the son of the brothers-in-law. So she's allowed to go and to marry the brothers-in-law, and she's forbidden to the nephew. How are you talking? Would that really mean? We discussed before. No, even though the pasuk only forbids bas bito. The pasuk forbids bas bito. You really are going to argue that bito is muteris and bas bito is asura? A granddaughter is gili arayos and a daughter is heter gomor? Oh, isn't that a kal vachomer? No, that's not a kal vachomer. No, that's mamish called a gili milsa. That's what the Rambam writes about tuma. Oh, that's what the Rambam writes about basa b'chala. You know how I know basa b'chala is asur b'achila? You know why? Because it would not make sense for the Torah to have an isra of bishul if the chefza is mutter b'achila. That's mamish. The Rambam writes a gili milsa. And that was that stunning chiddush of the Rambam. That wow. Those savashel says achila zasur, those savashel says ana zasur. There's a world of difference between achila as opposed to ana. How do I know that achila is asar? That's a gili milsa. That's self-evident. Because there's no way in the world we would argue that bishul is forbidden if achila is mutter. No? That's like saying the Rambam writes a daughter is mutter, but that which emanates from the daughter is asar. Bas bito is asar and bito is mutter. That is nonsensical. How do I know lo savashal applies to ana? You know what the answer is? Yivam Mustafa? Imeno inyan. We already have a pasuk for A, so there's a ribui. Oh, there's a world of difference between a gili milsa as opposed to a ribui. No? A gili milsa is self-evident, and a ribui is a drasha. A ribui is mamay nafkamina. You're going to get malkas deraisa for achilas basa b'chala, but not for hana basa b'chala. A gili milsa is mamash kamufurish b'kra. Imeinu inyan is not mufurish b'kra, therefore a chiddush that maybe that's why in Elokin we discuss, is that so obvious? That imeno inyan is ein aloka. We discussed the other marmakamos. Now, here on a level of drabanan, that's a din daraisa. Now, on a level of drabanan, you're going to argue that miyana mazeh is muteres mazeh. She's allowed to go to marry these people, but the son is usher. A nephew is usher, and the father is mutter. And the reason a nephew is usher because he emanates from his father. How can that possibly be? Now that's the chiddush that the Taz writes. So why are the brothers allowed? What are you going to say? Nira, kakalasa, I understand. What are you going to say that it's nira what? It's nira that this is a brother-in-law. If it's nira a brother-in-law, there's a mitzvah kibum. No? After all, there were no children from that previous marriage. No? So in such a case, so there's no nira when it comes to the cases of brothers-in-law. No, Beishasach. And how can you have an Isser of a nephew if there's no Isser of the father? So therefore, that's the Chiddush indeed that The Rambam writes, that's something which is stunning. No? That's the Chiddush, the Rambam Shita. That, you know what, there's no Issur the Krovim when it comes to brothers-in-law. There's no Issur of Krovim when it comes to nephews as well. Well, oh, if that really is true, there's no Issur. So let's get back to that Gemara Daf Kuches. The Gemara Daf Kuches that says the following, that, you know what, that too late. We don't allow for Miyun in order to uproot that earlier relationship between an aunt and a nephew. Why not? After all, there's no ongoing Issur of Krovin. Ongoing Issur of Krovin. Pashup Sham the Rambam is as follows. That's not the Biur of that Sugya Daf Kuches. No? You know why? We don't allow Yibum? Not because the Yibum would not be helpful. Miyun? Not because the Miyun would not be helpful. It would be helpful. But you know what? The time ticked out. There's no longer a possibility of Miyun because we're done. Miyun requires that there has to be a residual Ishus. There has to be an Ishus or a residual Ishus. Ishus is Ishus. You're married to this man and you're a Ketana, you can exercise Yibum. You can exercise Miyun. You're no longer married to this man because the man died, but there's Zika. Zika means there's residual issues. If there wouldn't be the original issues, there would not be a mitzvah of Yibum. So Yibum means that, you know what, that the issues is not Baka. The issues remains. Kolzman, that the issues remains, you can exercise the right of Miyun. Let's assume, for example, you're dealing with that case in Daf Kuches where there is no Zika, there is no Yibum, there is no Chalitza. A woman goes ahead and marries a man, and she's a ketana, and he dies. We're done. I want to be mima'enes. You know what? You're ticked out. No, the time is expired. Miyun requires that there has to be some anafkamina, a residual issues. The issues has to be intact, even if not fully intact, but sufficiently intact, al yedei zika. If the issues is longer intact, what do you mean that you're mima'enes? Just like that sugya shuvos and that chalzayin. You can be shoel on a neder, and guess what? A shelas chacham is mekrakar lemafreya, but it has to be nogeya. It has to be nogeya. If the neder is done, you know what? You cannot be shoel on that neder. A person goes and makes a neder, he violates the neder is done, lefur shvus chavzayim. There's no shelas chacham. But if the neder is still kayam, a person made a neder, he will not eat any bread for a week. And he already ate bread. He'd be chayiv malchus daraisa. But the neder is not paka. The neder still prevents him from eating bread for the remaining days of the week. You can be shoel. You can be shoel mikad lahaba. And if sheda works midin tos, it's chalam afreya. In such a case, you can be shoel. But med ramamurim, that is considered to be that which is nogeya. Wow. So that's an important chiddush. That's the biur of the Gemara according to the Rambam. That's the second day that you find in Rashba. But two stunning biurim. I understand the Gemara daf kuches some days. But the Rambam shita, you know what? Krovim are mutarim. The brothers not are mutarim. If the brother is mutar, the nephew cannot be yasa. And the Taz writes the zechilut racham. That's very, very mistaber to assume indeed that is true. So if I were to ask you, but okay, I understand. But why is it that our Gemara says, according to the Rambam Shita, once Miyun is done, the first Ishus is Paka. If the Ishus is Paka, there is no Issur of Krovim. So why does our Gemara say, but Kalasa remains? Why is Kalasa remain? Okay, so one possibility is the Taz, because Nira. Because look, it looks as though this girl is marrying her father-in-law. What do you mean? It was subject to Miyun? No, but not Bishata. It was subject to Miyun at stage 2 of Yibum. So therefore, it looks as though the Rishus was intact. Why don't you extend that to other Krovim as well? The answer is no, that we cannot do. But the reason it applies to Kalasso is very simply because Nires Ke'erva. Okay, I understand the question. Okay. Maybe one could suggest another possibility. Why it is that the Rambam writes that the Issur of Kalasso remains, but that's not true when it comes to Shar Arayas. So here I wanted you to take a look in the Torah's Kohanim. Now in Parshas Kedoshim, right, in Parsha Kuches. Here the Pasuk tells us, right, Ervas kalascha lo segale, ervas binchahi. Ervas binchahi. Wow. Ervas kalascha. Now, a man is forbidden to his daughter-in-law, after all, because ishes binchahi. So ervas kalascha. And what makes you into ervas kalascha? Ishes binchahi. Ishes binchahi. Well, okay. The Toras Konim says the following. The Pasuk says, Kalascha, Kalascha, a daughter-in-law is forbidden. A Chiddush. Toras Konim says, Afilu Shivcha, Vafilu Nochris. Maybe one could have thought, wow, an interesting Chiddush, that this Isser would apply even if a person's son married a Shivcha, even if a person's son married a Nochris. Anyone who the son was involved with is forbidden to the father. If the Pasuk says that kalascha, kalascha, and the definition of kalascha means that anyone who had such involvement with one son is forbidden to the father, afilu shivcha afilu nachas. Wow. How do you know that's absolutely not true? Oh, the Torah Sunday says the following. Talmud Lomar. Ishas binchani. Ishas binchani. Lo amarti ela beisha sheishbo ishus in binchani. The possibility of tfisas kedushin. Wow. So in such a case, that's why the pasuk adds ishas binchani. Ishas binchani. Wow. So you know what that means? That this doesn't apply to anyone and to everyone who the son was involved with. If this would be a shibcha, if this would be an achris, certainly not. That's why the pasuk tells us, ishas binchahi, a function of ishus. Amarti, alab isha sheishla ishus im bincha. Ishus im bincha. Wow. Okay. So it doesn't apply to shibcha, it doesn't apply to nachris. Oh, but nonetheless. Let me ask you the following. This is what Rashi writes on the Torah. Now, on the pasuk of Eishes Vincha, Rashi writes, Lama'id Anusa Shivcha Benachris. Well, that's what Rashi writes in that pasuk. Now, why does the pasuk say Eishes Vincha? It means issues, to the exclusion of Shivcha Nachris. And Rashi writes Anusa as well. Well, that's an important chiddush. Why is that? Oh, I'll tell you the following. After all, we discussed earlier in the year. Now this was so critical for the Hadar of Mamzerus. The pasuk says, "V'lo yigale knafaviv." What exactly does that mean? I know that one of the rayos is eshesav, but the pasuk goes out of its way and says knafaviv. What exactly does that mean? Now, oh, Rabbi Yehuda says the following, anusasaviv. No. That's something which is stunning. No? Anusa Sava means the following, that anyone who a father was involved with is usher to the son. It's not a chiyuv misa, it's a chiyuv lav. Oh, and that was stunning because then the pasuk says, Liyava mamzer bekal Hashem. And that was the basis of assuming you can have mamzerus from even chavi lavi. Because after all, knaf aviv is not misa and kares. We have three possibilities. What does Anusa Sava mean? What does Anusa Sava mean? If it's Eishes Av, it's a Chiyuv Misa. If it's referring to a case of Yibum, that means a Chiyuv Kares. If it's referring to Anusa Savi, that's an Isra of Lav, and that accounted for three of the five Deos of Izel Mamzer. No, that was something very, very heavy. But that's Sugi and Daf Memtes. But let's say Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabbi Yehuda Shita maintains this following. There's an Isra of Anusa Savi. So I'll tell you the following. I'll tell you a wonderful Havamina. Just like there's an Isra of Anusas Aviv, maybe the same thing applies in the opposite direction. If this is someone who a son was involved with, there's an Isra for the father. Just like there's an Isra Darais of Anusas Aviv, according to Rabbi Huda, maybe one would argue the following. Kevan Shenivala Libano, so Asula Aviv. Oh, that's what the Pasuk goes out of its way. Eishes Binchahi. The Isra of Kalasa was only Ayyadeishus. Only Ayyadeishus. It wouldn't have been absurd to assume that's not true. Rabbi Yehuda maintains there is an Isra of Anus HaSavi. So maybe one could have argued, just like if a father is involved with a woman, there is an Isra to the son. If the son is involved with a woman, there's an Isra to the father. Kamash Maman, Eishas Vinchahi, that certainly, certainly is not the case. Wow, okay. That's something which is important. No? Okay. So it's fascinating that there is a Hava Mina, that, you know what, there would be an Isser of Kalaso, even outside of the Miskeres of Yishus. Even outside the Miskeres of Yishus. Afilu Anusa, Afilu Shivcha, Afilu Nachris. Okay, interesting. No? That, like, is the Muskar Yishan. The Pasuk says, Evas Kalas Kalosa Galei. So I would have said, Yor Kalasa means anyone who had a relationship with a son is forbidden to the father. And that would include an Anusa, that would include a Shivcha, that would include a Nachris, Kamash Malanda, that's not true. What exactly was that Havamina? That Havamina? Ervas Kalas Kalosa Galei. Apparently, and that's the Gemara says is like the default position. That you know what? Wow. What exactly is the nature, the Hagdara, of the Isser, of this woman? Why is this woman forbidden, right, to the father? You know, I'll tell you this, because this woman is Eishes Bincha. This woman is the wife of your son. And if it's your son's wife, she's Asur, that's clear. If the Hagdara was Eishes Bincha, would there be any Havamina to assume that would apply to an Anusa, that would apply to a Shivcha, that would apply to an Achris? Poshub Shat, at least in Havamina, you know what the Torah's Konim is assuming? Kalascha is an independent Shem Erva. Kalascha is an independent Shem Erva. The Isser is not because of Eishes Bincha. The Isser is Kalascha. If the Isser is Kalascha, one could have argued that, you know, maybe it's like Anus HaSavir. Maybe it's true even outside of the Miskeres of Yishus. Maybe it applies even in Anusa. Maybe it applies in Shivcha. Maybe it applies in the case of Nachris. It's like Kenaf. Just like Kenaf Aviv, Kenas Mincha. The Havamina is that, you know what, Kalascha is Shalom B'Nizkeres HaYishus. Oh, so Kamash Malana, the Pasuk continues. It says, Eishes Bincha Hi, Eishes Bincha, that Ishus, Eishes Bincha. Okay. So Lamaskana, you know what, the Pasuk tells us, Eishes Bincha, that certainly is true. Dafka Ayyad Eishus, Dafka Eishus. So let me ask you the following. So what exactly does that mean? You know, so one possibility is this, that, you know what, that Lamaskana, the Isser really is Eishes Vincha. Or could one possibly suggest, a fascinating Chiddush, that no. You know what the Isser is? Kalascha. Maybe the Isser is Kalascha. What do you mean? If it's Kalascha, would one argue, even in a case of Shivcha, even in a case of Nachris? No. That's not called Kalascha. If we're talking about a random Maisadiyah with a Shivcha or an Achris, that is not Kalascha. That is not considered to be Kalascha. But the Oser is not Eishes Bincha. The Shem Isser is Kalascha. What exactly do I mean? So let me tell you something compelling. No? Take a look at the Pirush of the Malbim on this Torah's Kohen. The Malbim is rather by simple kasha. The Pasuk says, Ervas Kalascha lo segale, good, Eishes Bincha. You know what the Malbim raises the question? Lama hutzrach lemechtav kalascha. What does the Pasuk even have to say kalascha for? No? What does the Pasuk have to say kalascha for altogether? Let the Pasuk say, Eishes Bincha lo segale. Eishes Bincha. Kalascha is misleading. You would have said chalascha means like anusa saviv. No, anyone who, even outside the miskeres of Yishus. So the Torah goes out of its way and says that's wrong. You need eishes bincha. So let the pasuk just simply say, no, eishes bincha lo segale. No. Why does the pasuk have to say ervas chalascha? Lichtov eishes bincha levan. No, that's kind of heavy kasha, no? What do you need the whole reisha dekra? What do you need the whole reisha dekra? You know what the Malbim answers? Unbelievable. You know what? If the pasuk would say, eishes bincha, you know what I would have said? Mashma davka b'chayi haben. I would have said, if the pasuk is eishes, you know what I would have said? The iser only applies b'chayi haben. B'chayi haben. So you know what the chiddush of the pasuk is? That shame kalasa tikretabi. That even la'achar misa saben, the shame kalasa was not baka. The shame kalasa remains. Whoa. The shame iser is kalascha. Kalascha. Maybe one could have thought it's kalascha outside of the miskeres of Yishus. The answer is no. That's why the pasuk says eishes bincha. If the oser is eishes bincha, what do you need kalascha for? No, because if the pasuk would have said eishes bincha, if the son dies, it's still eishes bincha. Kamash mama, no. That the iser is even la'achar misa saben, because the oser is kalascha. Does kalascha mean even shla'ed eishes? No. You're only a daughter-in-law if there's marriage. But the shame kalascha remains even la'achar misa as well. And the mamon goes a step further and says the following. For example, Vayomer Yehuda l'Tamar kalaso. No? Apostle, no? Yehuda said to Tamar, his daughter-in-law. Her husband was no longer alive. The shame kalascha remains even afterwards. The Mamam writes, Naomi v'kalasea, kalasea. Wow. You know what you see? You see from that even la'achar misa saben, the shame kalascha is maintained. Wow. So that's a very fascinating hagdara. There's something unusual about one's relationship with the daughter-in-law. The shame iser is kalascha. Ahava minim Torah kohanim. Maybe you can reach that shame iser even shelo b'miskeres ishus kamash malan. No. You require a miskeres of ishus. But I'll tell you the following chiddush. But once you have the miskeres of ishus and the shame kalascha begins, you know what? That remains even lachar misa saben. Wow, that's something which is pretty striking. Whoa. Okay. The shame kalasa remains even la'achar, misa saben. Even la'achar, misa saben. Well. You know, if you look in the Sugya Sanhedrin and Daf Nun Dalet, the Gemara has like a similar shaka v'tari when it comes to Eishes Av. There's an Isser of Eishes Av. That's clear. A person cannot marry the wife of their father. What about la'achar misa? Is it still called Eishes Av La'achar Misa? A person's father dies. Now, it's still called the wife of one's father. The father is no longer alive, but there's no longer any issues. Say nachinam, you know what the Gemara writes, end up in the Dalit. There is a ribui in the Pasuk. A ribui in the Pasuk, again the double Lashon. Ervas Eishes Avicha Lo Segaleh, Ervas Avicha Hi. Yeah, there's a ribui in the Pasuk as well to say, you know what, that there's a shame Eishes Av, even la'achar misa, because I would have said that, you know what, the shame eishes av is paka la'achar misa. I would have said that the shame of eishes haben is paka la'achar misa. K'mashmalan, that's not true. That the shame kalasa, just like the same eishes av, is ongoing. It's enduring. Ad k'dei kach. Wow, that I would have suggested that you can have an Isra of Kalasa even outside of the Misgeres of Ishus. No. Ad kadei kach, certainly not. Wow. So that's something which is kind of stunning, no? In other words, there's a difference between the Isser of Kalasso from other types of Isurei Arayis, which are Machmas Ishus. Well, when it comes to a typical case of Arayis or Machmas Ishus, you know what? If the Ishus is Paka, the Shemirva doesn't survive. When it comes to the case of Kalasso, the Pasuk is emphasizing that's not true. Kalasso is an independent Shem Erva. The Isra of Kalasso la'achar misa is not because there's residual issues, but rather that, you know what, that even la'achar misa saben, the Shem Kalasso remains. That's something which is unusual. In Akadekach, one could suggest you don't even need issues. No, you need issues. But nonetheless, the Shem Kalasso is nisheres la'achar misa. Wow, so that's an important distinction. Okay. So I'll tell you the following. You know what? That's true clearly on a level of daraisa. That if there's an isra of kalasa and a person's son, rachmanel eslan, is nifta, the isra remains. I'll ask you the following. Not so surprising. Let's assume, for example, there was an Isra of Kalasa. But you know what? You know what? We're mafkia, the original issues. Al yidei miyun. Oh, so I'll tell you the fact. Not so surprising, no? That Argamar tells us that's nearest ke kalasa. The Shem Kalasa is not just because there's residual issues that remains. It's an independent Shem Issen. That Ad Kedekach one would have thought it applies even Shalom Miskeres Issues. Even though it applies Miskeres Issues, but you see, the Malbim writes, the Shem Kala indeed remains. And therefore, the fact that, you know what, Al Yidei Miyun, I can go ahead and I can uproot. You know what, but nonetheless, nearest Kalasa. And maybe the following chiddush, that's only true when it comes to kalasa, when it's an independent shem erev. When it comes to shar krov, which is ayah deishus, if the ishus is paka, we don't assume that that's true. If the ishus is severed, that's right. But the ishus is paka l'mafreya, we don't assume that that's true. That's the chiddush that you find Rav Aaron Cutler suggested, in order to explain the shita sarambam. Why it is la'achar miyun, the Isra of Kalasa remains, even though it doesn't apply when it comes to Sharkrovim. Sharkrovim, the mechayiv is issues. And if the issues is nekar l'mafreya, the shem erva doesn't apply. Kalasa is an independent shem erva, and that midrabanan will remain even la'achar miyun. Wow. So what is the basis of the Rambam's distinction between Kalasa or Gemara as opposed to Shar Krovim? One is what the Taz suggests, that you know what? Shar Krovim, if there would be a mitzvah of Yibum as far as the brothers are concerned, how can there be an Isser as far as Shar Krovim are concerned? Or maybe no, the uniqueness of Kalasa is an independent Shem Erva, even though there's a Havamina, that it would apply even Shalei Yishus, the Maskana, Ishus is necessary. Ishus is necessary to create the Shem Kalasa, but that is something that remains even lachar misa, and that is something that midrabanan will remain even if one is mafkia the Ishus harisha. That's an important chiddush. To what extent do we assume miyun is the mafreya? To what extent do we assume that miyun is considered to be that which is nikan al-haba? So this is a fascinating Haggadah that Reb Chaim describes in Perek Beis of Hilchos Ishus. There are two Rambams that Reb Chaim is discussing. Now, one is the Rambam in Hilchos Ishus, Perek Beis Halachates. The Rambam writes the following, Uwasugi Vamastaf Yud Beis and Mubeis. Right? You have a 12-year-old girl who gives birth. Right? Habas, a young girl, She yolda. How old is this girl? You know what? The Rambam writes, let's say she's 12 years old. But lo hivia simanim. In order to become a gedola, right, there are two factors, no? One is shanim, one is simanim, right? Shanim, good, and simanim, physical maturity. Both are necessary. We, when it comes to only dinim d'rabanan, we remind a chazaka rava that when you reach an age or bar bas mitzvah, we assume that there were simanim, and therefore, you know what, we're going to let this bachar bar mitzvah be motzi a gadol in mitzvos, based on this chazaka, with an important caveat regarding Din and Rabbanan. When it comes to a Din d'Oraisa, we're not going to lie in this chazaka. You know what? So you have a freshly squeezed Bachar Bar Mitzvah. Now, you know what? He is not going to be able to motzi a gadol in Din d'Oraisa. Unless we know, if he is simanim, no? Shuls, you know what? They'll give whatever. Mafter to a katan, fine, not Parsha Zachar. They're not going to have a katan lane Parsha Zachar. This is really a Kriya d'Oraisa. We're not going to allow this 12-year-old, as precocious as he is, to be the Baal Tokeya. You know what? Without assuring indeed that that's true. Okay, good. You know what? What happens if this girl has a child, no? You have a girl who, she yolda. So the Rambam writes, even though we don't know that she reached that stage, but you know what? She's a gedola. On what basis? Ooh, yivamastaf yibayis and what bayis? Banim harehim kesimanim. Banim, you have a child. You know that certainly is a manifestation of physical maturity. No, and therefore that certainly is good enough. She is a gedola midaraisa, right? If she has shanim and simanim. Okay. Wow. What is the chiddush of the Rambam? This is mafurish in the Gemara. No, banim kesimanim. I would say the chiddush is the second word, habashiyolda. Leida. In order to invoke our Gemara Yedbeis of the days, Bani Merkishimani, it means she gave birth. Wow, she gave birth. You give birth to a child that, you know what? As opposed to arguing what? No, the sheet of Rov Rishonim is Bani Merkishimani is Mishas Ibur. If a woman conceives, no, she conceives. That's a Rayim Muchachas that she is a Gedola. Our Gemara says, Baner Kesimanim. The Rambam takes that very literally in the sense that you give birth to a child, you're considered to be a Gedola. Well, that's the Rambam, correct? Beis Alachatos. Okay. Fast forward. Whoa. Tochazishus Peregyutes. That was Beis Tes. Peregyutes. Alachi Yedalit. The Rambam writes the following. You ready? Bas Hamima Enes. Bas Hamima Enes. This couple was married. She was a ketana. There's a daughter. She expressed miyun. Bas Hamima Enes. Well, she has a daughter. She's Menes. The Rambam writes the following chiddush that, you know, Harehi Keshar Habanos. You know, we're going to treat her as a daughter, a typical daughter. In Vieish Lamazonos. And she will be entitled to whatever a daughter is entitled. A father is responsible too. So you know what? If you have a case of a Bas HaMemenes, Harei Kishar Habanos and Vieish Lamazonos. That's what the Rambam writes. Okay? That's unusual. Bas HaMemenes. You have a daughter, right? Of a woman who expressed miyum. Derived it is Masa. The Rabbi writes, Ma she'eno kosav. This is impossible. What do you mean, a bas ha-memenes? What do those two words mean? A bas ha-memenes. Ma she'eno kosav. The Rambam is writing something here that's impossible. That what do you mean? A memenes. Eino lo bas lo ben. A memenes does not have any children whatsoever. How is this possible? No? Only a ketana can engage in miyun. And what do you mean? Basamanes. She is not a ketana. So take a look at the Magen Mishnah. There, Perek Yites. And the Mishnah earlier in Perek Beis that writes, yeah, all this is l'shitase. Harambam l'tamei. The Rambam understood as follows, that, you know, banim harayim kim simanim. When you said that's true, oh, those two first words, bashiyolda, only leida. When she's expecting, she's still considered to be a ketana. You can have an expecting woman Who is a ketana? If she's a ketana, she can exercise miyun. Guess what? 5 months after she's menesh, she gives birth to a child. What's the problem? A bas sheyolda, and you can have a bas. Hamamenes. What exactly is the problem? She's expecting. She's still a ketana. She goes ahead and is menesh. And months later, she gives birth. Like, well, what's the Ravid says? Impossible. That's because the Ravid assumes, like Rov Roshonim, that Banirek is Simanim is not Mishas Leda, it's Mishas Ibur. Once she's expecting, she's already considered to be a Gedola. Once she is expecting, she can no longer be Mema Enes, and as such, that you know what? That Bas Enes. Impossible. Masha Eno Kasa. Okay. That's the simple beer of Magid Mishnah. Now, Reb Chaim is bothered by the following. Now, this is like an interesting hasagi as well, but maybe like Minei Obey. Why was the Ravid only Masig in Perek Yutes? And why was the Ravid not Masig in Perek Beis? No, the Rabbi begins by saying, Bas Sheyolda, the Ravid should scream, no? Masha Eno Kosa. You're talking about a girl who goes ahead and gives birth. And what does that mean? Then, wait a minute. That's wrong. No? Barim is not dependent on Leida. The Rambam mischaracterizes this. It should be, you have a daughter who is expecting, you know what? Barim. If the whole assumption of Yutes, you know, is that she becomes a gdola from the time that she is a mu'uberes, that flies in the face of Beis Tes. So why is it that the Ravid is not master? That's like a fascinating horror in general. You know, I would tell you, in general, it's interesting. In the very beginning of Shulchan Aruch, it's called Klali HaRambam of the Knesset HaGdola. He writes an important cloud that if the Ravid is not master, that means the Ravid is masking, right? Shtika Kodol Damya. That's like a fascinating issue. You know, you learn the Rambams, which is fascinating, not for now, but you know what? The most difficult Rambams do not have a Sagas Arayva. That's a very interesting Ara, no? The Rambams that, you know, you sweat over, you know, there's no Sagas Arayva. And some of the Rambams, there's no Sagas Arayva, and you look in the Arayva in other works, in other words, in Tmim Deim, in Kosov Sham, other works of the Tmim Deim is a major Chibur of the Arayva. He attacks Shitas the Rambam with no Hasaga. So that's a fascinating issue, that to what extent is the Hasaga arrived at a comprehensive critique of the Rambam on the other Ravid. Well, it's been written about that. Now, but here the Reb Chaim is bothered. Why there? Here I will tell you the following. Forget about what I just said the past 2 minutes. Huh? Erase that. No, but the Ravid is Masi. He is Masi. It's not that he is Masi. If he is Masi, why would the Hasaga be in Perek Yutes and not in Perek Beis? No? This is something the Ravid chose to be Masik. So you know what? So be Masik from the get-go. No? In Beis Tes, when the Rambam writes, Habas Shiyoda, the Ravid should write, that's not an appropriate phrase. No? The phrase should be a girl who is expecting, not a girl who indeed gave birth. Rav Chaim writes, like, you know, maybe one could suggest playing this down. That, you know what, maybe one could argue the following, that, you know what, Dakati lo brira milsa. Maybe in Achinami, maybe the Rambam just writes the following, that, you know what, maybe in principle, maybe one could argue that Bani Merki Simani is from the time that she becomes a Mu'uberes. But that is only true if she gives birth to a Ben Kayama. If she would go ahead and become expecting and immediately miscarriage, in Achinami, that's not a sign of godless. So maybe in Achinami that Rambam and Beis could mean the following, that when you have a case of a Bas Sheyolda, you know, that's obviously an indicator that she's a Gdola, but you know what? She was a Gdola from the time of the Shas Ibur. But you know what? From the time of the Shas Ibur itself, it's hard to tell, because after all, maybe that was not viable at all because of her young age. Oh, so you know what? Mizbar lemafreya kishay Ibur, that yet it's a Ben Kayama and in Achinami. That, you know what, that really is true. From the, maybe that's how you could have interpreted the Rambam, Bashiolda means that Bishas Leida, it's obvious that she's a Gdola, and Enochinami, once that's obvious, it turns Shas Ibor. Oh, once you come across the Rambam in Yutes, you see that's wrong. Because the Rambam writes Basa Memenes. Now, you see that the woman gave birth to a Ben Kayama, and yet there was still a possibility of Miyun. So what was somewhat ambiguous in Perek Beis, does the Rambam really mean to say the Koveh is Leila? Or does the Rambam mean to say the following, that Shas Leila, you see the Vlad is a Ben Kayama, and therefore she was a girl from the time of Ibor? Maybe there are two possibilities, maybe this, maybe that. Once you come to Perek Yotes, it's Mefurish, no? Bas Menes means she's a Ketana until Leida, until Leida. Oh, so Rabbi Chaim writes that maybe enough enough. Maybe one could argue that the Raiva just waited for the most blatant example of the Rambam to be Masiv, because Perek Beis was not as Mefurish. Wow. And then Rabbi Chaim writes something which is stunning, and this I want you to take a look at for tomorrow. Or Rabbi Chaim writes the following. When we discuss cases of miyun, what exactly do we mean? What is mikan l'haba? What is considered to be l'afreya? Rabbi Chaim writes, it sounds obvious, no? Because that's sugi we just discussed, kuches. A mema'enes is mutter b'krovosah. And v'hi muteres b'krovah. If miyun is done, there's no issur of krovin. We were talking about miyun for a zika. If miyun is done be'ishus, there's no issur of krovin. He can marry whoever, she can marry whoever. That's mafurish in Gemara. Mema enes, he is muter b'krovaseh, and she is muteres b'krovah. Well, take a look at the Rambam Hilchos Gerushin, Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Tes Zayin. The Rambam writes, mema enes, einam ugoresha simenu. Einam, it's not gerushin, but it means kamish lo kidsha me'olam. Because miyun is mafgiyah hanisim l'afreya, they're not married at all. Okay. And therefore, there's no issur of krovin. However, Chaim is bothered. But take a look at that Gemara. Let's assume, for example, yet an issus, it was paka ayidei miyun. But during the course of their marriage, like, certain things happen. You know what? She went ahead, this young girl, and she came across a very valuable metziah. She was able to work, and she produced masiyah daim. Or let's assume, for example, there was hafaras nadarim. And all of a sudden, there's miyun. Would the halacha demand that, you know what, the mitzias ha'ish have to be returned? He has to compensate her for masiyah daim? Would we argue as follows that there was no slus of hafaras nadarim at all? The whole thing was nekro l'mafreya, nekro l'mafreya. You know what the answer is? No, that's not true. So that's a little bit unusual. Or let me ask you an extreme case. You know, a couple is married, kedushei ketana, kedushei miyun, miyun is exercised, and would that mean that the entire months that they were together, that was all a violation of a bias nus. You'll tell me, okay, it was unanticipated. Okay. So maybe you'll say shogeg. Maybe you'll say, no, unanticipated means an onus. Is that really true? We say, ad kedei kach, that the ishus was nekeres mafreya to the point that, so Reb Chaim writes, he thinks that's obviously not true. That Bishato certainly was Ishus. And all the Shibudim and all the Schuyas of Ishus kicked in. And all the Shibudim and Schuyas of Ishus remain, even Lacharmiyun. Despite the fact that Mutter B'Krovaseh, B'Hi Muteres B'Krovav. So take a look at that piece of Reb Chaim, where Reb Chaim discusses like a fascinating Hagdara, that to what extent is Miyun L'Mafreya, that, you know, the slate is wiped clean, it's as though it never happened. To what extent do we argue this is only true going forward? Mikan L'Haba, Mikan L'Haba. And Reb Chaim uses like an unusual term, that Danin L'Mikan L'Haba, Kilo Miskad Shemiyolah. Mikan l'haba we view it as though they were never married. Well, for anything that is relevant going forward, it's as though there was no issues. But when we're not going forward, yesterday, the day before, a month before, of course there is issues. We wouldn't call that a biasnus. And mitzia, maisia, dana, farasadam, all of that remains. So Reb Chaim writes, that's the fascinating hagdara of miyun, that it is not purely mikan laba or lamafreya. It depends. For these dinim, mikan laba, for that's considered to be lamafreya. And then Reb Chaim writes, maybe one can understand machlokas the Rambam and the Raavad in that light. What exactly is the schus of mizonos? Is that something mikan laba? Is that lamafreya? And maybe that's the basis of the machlokas the Rambam and the Raavad. So take a look for tomorrow that point, and then we have to just revisit the sugya of Tzaras Aymanis. Now, so go through the Shurmagen and Abbeis, right? What is the Mekach Tos? What's not Tos? What happens in the case of Kibel? What about Tzaras now? I'll be the Tzaras Aymanis.